Welcome to Zichu Daf Sim Mani Member of Avram Goldar, and today we're Sakas Baba Kama Daf Samach Gemot, the seventh Perek Merubah. So the three daps we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara asks for the source of the Mishnah's ruling that Kefil is paid for any stolen item. A brisa derives from a klal prat uklal to include most items, but the Gemara asks that it should not include birds, or at least non-kosher birds, which do not convey any tumah, in contrast to the examples of the pasuk. Therefore, the Gemara concludes, kol rebuyehu. The word any in the pasuk al kol dvar pesha is an inclusionary term which teaches to include all items, even inanimate ones, in the law of kefil. The Gemara asks, since kol includes all items in kefil, without a klal prat uklal, why are the various examples of an ox, sheep, donkey, and a garment written in the pasuk? The Gemara answers that the first three exclude karka, land, which is unmovable, avadim, slaves, which are compared to land, and shtaros, documents, which lack intrinsic value from the laws of kefil. The garment example excludes davar sheinu masuyim, an item without identifying marks. Pointing me to a Mishnah's quote about one who confronts a shomer chinam, asking for his item, and the shomer says, avad, it was lost. And the owner then demanded he swear to his claim, and the shomer said, amen. If Adim testified that the Shomer lied, and he himself ate it, he pays only the principal of the item. If he admitted on his own that he lied, Mishalm Keren Chomish V'Asham, he pays the principal and an additional one-fifth, and he brings an Asham for swearing falsely. This carbon and additional payment are only for one who admits to swearing falsely. However, if the Shomer said, Nignav, it was stolen from me, and agreed to swear to that effect, and then Adim testify that he stole it himself, Mishalm Toshumi Kefil, he must pay the double payment. This is the rule that Tohen Tanas Ganav pays Kefil. If he admitted that he lied, he pays the principal and an extra fifth and brings an Ashim. He does not pay Kefil, which is a Kanas, and is never paid on the basis of an admission. And point number three, the Gemara asks for the source for the laws just mentioned. Two brises are quoted, which both assume that the Pasuk, Imo Yimatzea Ganav, if the thief is not found, he shall pay twofold to his fellow, is referring to a Shomer who claims the item was stolen from him. Rav explains how the pasuk is interpreted. Imo yimatzeh k'masha amar, if it will not be found as he said that it was stolen, el shu atzmo ganvo, rather he himself stole it, yishalom shnayim, he pays twofold. A brisa derives that this is only where the shomer swore like his claim. The pasuk says v'nikra b'habayse elohim, and the homeowner, meaning the shomer, shall approach the court. This means l'shvua, to take an oath. This is based on the gezer shava of yad yad. The Gemara proceeds to explain the source that a shomer who claims item was lost does not pay kefil. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Gemara asks for the source of the Mishnah's ruling that kefil is paid for any stolen item. A brisa derives from a klal prat uklal to include most items, but the Gemara asks that it should not include birds, or at least non-kosher birds, which do not convey any tumah, in contrast to the examples of the pasuk. Therefore, the Gemara concludes, kol rebuyehu. The word any in the pasuk al kol dvar pesha is an inclusionary term which teaches to include all items, even inanimate ones, in the law of kefil. The Gemara asks, since kol includes all items in kefil, without a klal prat uklal, why are the various examples of an ox, sheep, donkey, and a garment written in the pasuk? The Gemara answers that the first three exclude karka, land, which is unmovable, avadim, slaves, which are compared to land, and shtaros, documents, which lack intrinsic value from the laws of kefil. The garment example excludes davar sheinu masuyim, an item without identifying marks. Pointing me to a Mishnah's quote about one who confronts a shomer chinam, asking for his item, and the shomer says, avad, it was lost. And the owner then demanded he swear to his claim, and the shomer said, amen. If Adim testified that the shomer lied, and he himself ate it, he pays only the principal of the item. If he admitted on his own that he lied, Mishalm Keren Chomish V'Asham, he pays the principal and an additional one-fifth, and he brings an Asham for swearing falsely. This carbon and additional payment are only for one who admits to swearing falsely. However, if the shomer said, Nignav, it was stolen from me, and agreed to swear to that effect, and then Adim testify that he stole it himself, Mishalm Toshumi Kefil, he must pay the double payment. This is the rule that Tohen Tanas Ganav pays Kefil. If he admitted that he lied, he pays the principal and an extra fifth and brings an Ashim. He does not pay Kefil, which is a Kanas, and is never paid on the basis of an admission. And point number three, the Gemara asks for the source for the laws just mentioned. Two brises are quoted, which both assume that the pasuk, Imo Yimatzea Ganav, if the thief is not found, he shall pay twofold to his fellow, is referring to a shomer who claims the item was stolen from him. Rav explains how the pasuk is interpreted. Imo yimatzeh k'masha amar, if it will not be found as he said that it was stolen, el shu atzmo ganvo, rather he himself stole it, yishalom shnayim, he pays twofold. A brisa derives that this is only where the shomer swore like his claim. The pasuk says, v'nikra b'habayse elohim, and the homeowner, meaning the shomer, shall approach the court. This means l'shvua, to take an oath. This is based on the gezer shava of yad yad. The Gemara proceeds to explain the source that a shomer who claims item was lost does not pay kefil. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Samach Gimel, and our standard Siman is a Segway, which is a two-wheel device that boys scoot around the neighborhood on. So here goes. The thief on his Kol Davar Pesha Segway, zipping past all the items one pays kefil for, who was stopped by a Shomer Chinam who asked if he should falsely claim that an item he was guarding was lost or stolen from him, responded that if he took a shvu after being Tohu Tainas Ganav, he would have to pay kefil. Once again, in slow motion. The thief on his Kol Davar Pesha Segway? That must be more on Daf Samach Gimel. The thief on his Kol Davar Pesha Segway, zipping past all the items one pays kefil for, which reminds us, the Gemara asks for the source of the Mishnah's ruling that kefil is paid for any stolen item. A brisa derives from a klal, prat uklal, to include most items, but the Gemara said it should not include birds, or at least non-kosher birds, which should not convey any tumah, in contrast to the examples of the pasuk. Therefore, the Gemara concludes, kol rebu yehu. The word any in the pasuk of a kol davar pesha is an inclusionary term, which teaches to include all items, even inanimate ones, in the law of kefil. So the thief on his kol davar pesha segway, zipping past all the items one pays kefil for, who was stopped by a shomer chinam who asked if he should falsely claim that an item he was guarding was lost or stolen from him, which reminds us, a mishnah is quoted about one who confronts a shomer chinam asking for his item, and the shomer says, avad, it was lost, and the owner then demanded he swear to his claim, and the shomer said, amen. If Adim testified that the shomer lied, and he himself ate it, he pays only the principal of the item. However, if the shomer said, nignav, it was stolen from me, and agreed to swear to that effect, and then Adim testified that he stole it himself, mishalim tashlum kefil, he must pay the double payment, and this is the rule of atoling tainus ganav, pays kefil. So the thief on his kol davar pesha segway, zipping past all the items one pays kefil for, who was stopped by a shomer chinam who asked if he should falsely claim that an item he was guarding was lost or stolen from him, responded that if he took a shvu after being atoling tainus ganav, he would have to pay kefil, which reminds us, a brisa derives that the case where a shomer pays kefil when he's tohu tainas ganav is only where the shomer swore like his claim. The pasuk says, v'nikrav b'habayis elohim, and the homeowner, meaning the shomer, shall approach the court. This means l'shvua, to take an oath. So once again, the thief on his kol davar pesha segway, zipping past all the items one pays kefil for, who was stopped by a shomer chinam and asked if he should falsely claim that an item he was guarding was lost or stolen from him, responded that if he took a shvu after being tohu tainas ganav, he would have to pay kefil. All right, so now it's time for four blabak chazara. Daf nun tes. So the simmer daf nun tes is a knight. So here goes. The knight in shining armor, knight? That must be more on daf nun tes. The knight in shining armor who was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain, which reminds us, a brisa nun chesam base discussed assessing chazis, newly sprouted grain which was eaten by one's animal. Rabbi Yosef Glili said, Nidon b'meshuyar shabo, it's judged based on what remains in the field, meaning the remaining grain is evaluated at harvest time to determine the damage of the undeveloped grain. The Chachamim say we assess the value of the land with its stalks before it was damaged, and its value after its stalks were damaged. Thus, they follow the grain's current value. So the knight in shining armor was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain, didn't realize his horse was busy eating budding grapes, which would cost him more, minus the weakening of the vine, which reminds us of the Brisa taught that if an animal eats madar, budding grapes, Rabbi Yeshua says he pays what their value would be at harvest. After the Gemara establishes that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is saying the same thing, it explains that they argue about kachash gufna, deducting the weakening of the vine, which would have occurred if the grapes had remained on the vine until harvesting, drawing nourishment from the vine. So the knight in shining armor who was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain, didn't realize his horse was busy eating budding grapes, which would cost him more, minus the weakening of the vine, because he was nervous looking at three people coming, one carrying a fire, one carrying some wood, and one carrying a bellows to fan the flame, which reminds us, if one brought wood and then another brought fire, the one who brought the fire is chayev. If another person came and fanned the fire, without which it would not have grown to a fire capable of damage, he alone is liable. If it was fanned by a wind, all of them are exempt. Daf Samach. So the similar Daf Samach is smiley face stickers. So here goes. The man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker, that must be more on Daf Samach. The man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker from the opposite side of the wind, so he wouldn't be chayiv, which reminds us, a brisa states that if one fanned the fire and the wind fanned it, if the person's fanning was sufficient to spread the fire, he's chayiv, but if not, he's pater. The Gemara said it should be like one who winnows on Shabbos, and the wind assists him by blowing away the chaff, where he's chayiv for being mechal Shabbos. So first three answers are given as why he's not responsible for blowing on the fire. The first one being, he fanned the fire from the opposite side as the wind, and so he did not contribute to the fire at all. Rav Ashi answers that the liability for winnowing with the assistance of wind is specific to Shabbos, the Malachas Mach Shabbos Asur Torah, where the Torah prohibited purposeful work, whereas damage inflicted through the wind is considered indirectly caused, Megramah Benazakim Pater, and one is exempt for mere causative damage. So the man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker from the opposite side of the wind so he wouldn't be chayev got caught in a storm of angry face stickers that poured down from the sky outside a house where Jews made sure not to leave the entrance, which reminds us, Rav Yosef taught a brisa about a pasuk regarding Makas Bechoros, Vatem Oseitzu Ish Mepesuk Beso Ad Boker, and you, referring to the Jews, shall not leave the entrance of the house until morning. It explains that Kevin Shenitin Reshus L'Mashchis, once permission has been given to the destroying force to destroy, it doesn't distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. Therefore, Jews would be endangered if they would leave their homes. So the man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker from the opposite side of the wind, so he wouldn't be chayev, got caught in a storm of angry face stickers that poured down from the sky outside a house where Jews made sure not to leave the entrance, while three warriors risked their lives running through them on a mission to find the psak on three shilas for their king. Which reminds us, the Gemara analyzes an incident in which David had a craving for water from Beis Lechem, which it interprets to mean that he sought the Sanhedrin's ruling on a halakha question. Three warriors risked their lives breaking the camp of the Plishtim to obtain a resolution, and David objected to their doing so. Amram discussed what his inquiry was, and three opinions are brought. Daf Samachov, so the Zimmer Daf Samachov is a saw, and we often use a magician doing the saw person and half trick. So here goes. The magician practicing his saw a person in half while lighting the box on fire trick, saw a person in half, that must be on Daf Samachov, saw. The magician practicing his saw a person in half while lighting the box on fire trick, who was terrified when the fire got out of control and got bent by wind and crossed over his four amma high wall, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Avra Gadar Shehu Gavod Dalad Amos, if a fire which one lit on his own property crossed a wall four amas high, or Derech HaRabim, or Nahar, or a public road or a river, Pater, he's exempt. There's a Malchus Rav and Shmuel whether the exemption applies to a kalachas, a rising fire, or to a nikfefes, a bent fire, referring to a fire bent by the wind. So the magician practicing his saw a person in half while lighting the box on fire trick, who was terrified when the fire got out of control and got bent by wind and crossed over his four amma high wall, had called the Hakol Afi HaDleika fire department to come, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, HaMadlich Matoch Shalo, if one lights a fire within his own property, Ad Kama Tavor HaDleika, until how far is the fire expected to pass? Four opinions are recorded, the fourth one being Rabbi Shimon, who says a kol ifi hadleika, it all depends on the fire, which is explained to mean a kol ifi gova hadleika, it all depends on the height of the fire, which determines how far the fire is expected to travel. Shmuel says the halakha is like Rabbi Shimon. So the magician practicing his saw a person in half while lighting the box on fire trick, who was terrified when the fire got out of control and got bent by wind and crossed over his four amma high wall, had called the Hakol Afi HaDleika fire department to come. But they were busy telling an arsonist who lit someone's pile of grain on fire that he was hired to pay for the burned threshing tools that had been hidden there, but not for the burned purse. Which reminds us, where one set a fire in his property, the Chachamim say he's put on all hidden items. Where he lit in another person's property, Yehuda holds him liable even for an arniki, a purse, not commonly hidden in grain. And the Chachamim say, kelim shedarkan l'hatin b'gadish, for kelim commonly hidden in a grain pile, such as threshing tools, he's chayev, but not for items not commonly hidden there, such as a purse. Dav Samach Beis. So the Simmer Dav Samach Beis is a submarine. So here goes. The submarine admiral, submarine, that must be learned off Samach Beis. The submarine admiral who discovered that the uniform he hid without permission under his pile of grain in someone's yard was burned in a fire, which reminds us, although Rabbi Yehuda ordinarily obligates paying for hidden items damaged by fire, if someone receives permission to pile grain in his fellow's field and hides items there, Yehuda agrees the owner would be putter if fire damaged those items which were there without permission. So the submarine admiral who discovered that the uniform he hid without permission under his pile of grain in someone's yard was burned in a fire caused by flax on a camel being ignited by Ner Hanukkah, which had been placed outside the submarine accessory store, which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches that if a camel bearing flax walked near a store and the flax entered the store and was ignited by the store owner's lamp, the camel's owner pays for any damages. But if the store owner left his lamp outside the store, he is liable for the damages. Rabbi Yehuda says, B'ner Hanukkah Pater. Regarding a Ner Hanukkah, he is Pater since he has permission to place it there for the mitzvah. So the submarine admiral who discovered that the uniform he hid without permission under his pile of grain in someone's yard was burned in a fire caused by flax on a camel being ignited by Ner Hanukkah, which had been placed outside the submarine accessory store, saw one of his officers who was towing Tainas Ganav, but who had sold the animal in his care, Pei Dalvehe, which reminds us, the seventh parak begins, Maruba Midas Tashumi Keifo Mamidas Tashumi Arba Chamisha. The rule of double payment for a thief is more inclusive than the rule of fourfold or fivefold payment made if the thief sold or shechted stolen ox or sheep. Keifo applies both to living beings and inanimate items, where Dalvehe only applied to an ox or sheep. The Gemara notes that since no other difference was mentioned, the Mishnah supports Rabbi Chiya bar Abba's ruling that Hatohen Tanas Ganav does pay Dalvehe. Others say this proof was defective because the Mishnah does not say ain bain. There is no difference between them except the Mishnah taught one difference, but there may be others. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf do we have a question if a Tohen Tainas Ganav pays Dal Vehe? That's on daf Samach Beis. Good. Number 2, which daf do we discuss a fire which multiple people contributed it to, where one brings the fire, one brings the wood, and one fans the flame? That's on daf Nun Tas. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we discuss the difference in dinim between a shomer who falsely claims the items were lost versus stolen? That's on daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we discuss that the owner of an animal that fell into someone's garden is chayiv if his animal then goes from row to row to eat the produce? That's on daf Nun Ches. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn that the source to obligate kefil for all stolen items is from the ribuya of coal? That's on daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn one is permitted to return a lost object without the owner's knowledge? That's on daf Nun Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn the source for kefil for a tohen tainas ganav and that it only applies after a shavua? That's on daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn Rabbi Shimon holds with regard to how far a fire can pass is hakol fi hadreika? That's on daf Samachov. Good. Number 9. Which of the one, if someone receives permission to pile grain in his fellow's field and hides items there, Rav Yehuda agrees the owner would be exempt if fire damaged those items. That's on daf Samach Beis. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we discuss? Kachash Kufna, deducting the weakening of the vine. That's on daf Nun Tas. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.